Our Denver 7 insider, Troy Rank, presented by ROX Heating and Air. If you didn't know, that's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. Troy, we heard the report yesterday from Adam Schefter that the Falcons are open to trading the 4th overall pick, and they have got calls about that pick from multiple teams. To your knowledge, have the Broncos placed a call to Atlanta?
Yeah, I don't believe they have yet. I don't think they've ruled that out, but as far as their love for the quarterbacks in the draft, I haven't been in talking to sources, and again, this is the lying season leading up to the draft. I haven't been told that they're in love with one of them to surrender that type of acquisition price, which would be likely two future number one picks. But it doesn't mean that couldn't change. George Payton has been measured in how he's approached this quarterback situation. He clearly, it's a significant decision and they need to add somebody, but he chased after Matthew Stafford. All other scenarios, they've been very tepid in their interest, and in that they have not ruled out moving up. They have not ruled out taking a quarterback in the draft. So, but I don't believe they've called the Falcons yet. They could make that happen, clearly, if they would say, we'll give you two ones and a two. But to my knowledge, they're not there yet. It doesn't mean that couldn't change. I think they would prefer if that trade-up was to 5 or 7 or 8, not 4.
Yeah, Troy, and for me, you know, if they weren't all in on moving up to 3, then – why would they be all in on moving up to 4 now? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that you know, we hadn't heard that they were, you know, calling Miami and trying to get that 3rd pick, but now they're all of a sudden they're going to be calling Atlanta and going to spend a couple first rounders for the 4th pick. Why, it seemed like they would have done that with Miami. So I'm just like, I don't think George Payton loves any of these guys.
And see, that's fair, because obviously San Francisco moved up with the idea they do love one of them, whether that's Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields. One of them they clearly love more than the others. The Broncos have not reached that point. And that's where, so, well, you're connecting the dots. I think that's fair. The one caveat would be, could that change as George Payton comes back from all those days, now compares the 3 of them he saw in person, Wilson, who's not going to be available, but he saw Trey Lance, he saw Justin Fields. Now look at the tape, put yourself in that dark room and analyze it, and go back and compare it to game film. Would something there, you know, the eureka moment happen? It could, but I tend to agree with you that if they were in love, they would have moved up already. That's why I think they're staying patient, hopeful that maybe one of them drops, and then they could maybe pounce then rather than move up to 4.
Troy Rank, good friend of our show, Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Heating and Air, dropping by. We know that the Broncos were in touch with the New York Jets about Sam Darnold. It's also come out here within the last just handful of minutes, within the hour, I believe, that the 49ers and the Washington football team were involved with discussions with the New York Jets about Sam Darnold. Ultimately, he goes to Carolina. Do you know or have any temperature of what the interest level or maybe potential offer was for Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I just wrote about this on the DenverChannel.com, kind of breaking down where they are in this quarterback situation. But as it relates to Darnold, according to multiple sources, they had exploratory talks, but once it was clear the Jets wanted a second-round pick as part of any compensation, the Broncos didn't have interest in that because they don't believe that Sam Darnold is a significant upgrade over Drew Lock. They would point to the fact he's had durability issues, not unlike Lock, and he's had, you know, almost an interception a game and 20 fumbles in 38 games. So some of the same issues they've dealt with Lock, they saw in Darnold, and you would have to then pick up the $18 million option on Darnold by May 3rd, and at that point he's your guy for probably 2 years. And more than that, the way it was explained to me by one industry source was not only were they not convinced he was necessarily an upgrade on Drew Lock, and we'll see if that was wrong, but that was where they were on this, is if you give up a second rounder, because who cares about the 4th and 6th? I mean, no one really does. You can get those picks back. But once you give up a second rounder, then you lose the elasticity to move up to 4, 5, or 7 because you would need that second round pick. So it tells you they weren't in love with Darnold. They wanted to hold on to that second round pick in case they do want to move up, because you would need that likely to be part of a trade package with the Falcons, Lions, Bengals.
Troy, and Troy Rank joining us here. This is how yesterday I think this thing is going to play out. This is what I said yesterday. Let me know if you agree or disagree here. I think what it's going to end up being is Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater this year. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback. George Payton hasn't shown us with his actions that he loves any of these guys. So I don't think they draft a quarterback in the first round. I think it's going to be the guy that he knows, Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Lock.
Again, it's if you're a betting man, it's not a terrible bet because of the fact that George Payton was in Minnesota when they drafted Bridgewater. Everybody loves Teddy Bridgewater, the character, the leader. He's a game manager who, for the most part, makes smart decisions on the field. They don't want him at $17 million. I do know that.
Yeah,
so
that would
be
bad.
Like with Case, you know, with Case Keenum when they traded him, you would need the Panthers to eat significant amount. So instead of $17 million, you pay him $8-9 million or whatever, and then he would then compete with Locke. Would he beat him out? Maybe, maybe not. But for a year, I guess, you could live with it. My issue with Teddy is simple, and I've said this, and it's not personal. It really isn't. There's no upside to Teddy Bridgewater. It's just you're going to get what you get. He's basically a kind of a better version of Tyrod Taylor. There's no turnovers there, but there's no downfield strikes. And if Bronco country wants to point to the game he played against the Broncos, okay. But he had 15 touchdowns and 11 picks last year. His numbers were almost identical to Locke in many ways outside of his completion percentage. But to your point, Brandon, everything goes, you know, when you look at everything, the idea of them getting Bridgewater is possible because of the connections and if they can bring the money down. The one thing that I would find fascinating is if you get Bridgewater – you would give up, let's say, a sixth, seventh round pick, whatever. You could then still draft a quarterback and throw Locke or someone overboard and have Bridgewater and the seventh pick or the eighth pick or the ninth pick as your kid learning from Bridgewater. So that is
like
the
it.
One
yeah.
trick to the you could do. It doesn't mean Bridgewater and Locke. I think you're right. It's more likely that that's it. But you could acquire Bridgewater, draft Fields, and then throw Locke overboard. I mean, there are still multiple scenarios here.
There is, and that's what makes part of this entire conversation so fascinating, because while everyone else has made a move, whether free agency or trade or is trading up the draft board, the Broncos have just remained kind of dormant here. They haven't done much of anything, but it opens up future possibilities here as the NFL draft is just 3 weeks away. Troy, do you think that the Broncos – could have a contingency plan that they will select one of the quarterbacks if they fall to 9, or is the signal that if they're not willing to trade up, they're out on all these guys?
No, I don't think that's the case. If Fields or Lance were to fall to 9, I mean, especially Fields, I would be surprised if they don't take him at 9, because you don't know when you're going to be back up there again. And next year's draft, if you look at quarterbacks, and it's a fluid situation, admittedly, but next year's draft is not ripe for quarterbacks. It does not have near the amount of prospects, high-end guys, that this year does. So you could look at it from this lens, if you're the Broncos, through this lens. If we don't plan on being a top 10 again anytime soon, we may not have a chance at a guy like this. So if a Fields or Lance were to fall to him, honestly, I think it would be silly not to take him. Because next year, if you're drafting 15th or 16th, this next year's draft does not look great for quarterbacks, unless your plan is all in for Russell Wilson or, you know, again, Deshaun Watson, who knows. But or if Watson were to be cleared legally and be eligible to play, maybe that's your backup plan is Wilson or Watson. But if you're looking at the draft next year for quarterbacks, that's a scary position to be in. That's why I think if one of Lance or Fields drops to 9, they take him. I don't know about Mac Jones. I haven't gotten a good read on that, but it would surprise me if Lance or Fields were at 9, dropped to them at 9, and they didn't take him.
Troy, last one for me. How would you feel if they stayed at 9 and they ended up taking a Kyle Pitts or a Penei Sewell, the left tackle from Oregon, considering that, you know, they just spent a first-round pick 2 years ago on Noah Fant. They just paid Garrett Bowles to be their left tackle, and that's kind of what Sewell projects to be. How would you feel, and KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver, how would you feel if the Broncos went down that road?
Listen, Kyle Pitts, if he's on the board at 9, I would race up to the podium and throw my court that card
okay.
at the executives. I mean, to me, he might have been the best player in college football last year. Mm. He's that good.
Yep.
He was Darren Waller in college football, and he should be Darren Waller, if not better, in pro football. So if he's available, I take him and I figure it out. I mean, you've got Noah Fant and you've got him. I mean, you hope Albert O gets healthy, Oguwibanom, but maybe he doesn't. But if Pitts is there, oh, my word. Now, again, could they use Sewell? Yes, it's just it's complicated because then you're basically you're moving on from James. You might end up cutting him or you just wear the money this year. But there is something to be said if you make if you believe Sewell can be your cornerstone right tackle and you've got him with Bowles, that's a nice thing to have too. But if Pitts were on the board, and if it's me taking it, I would take Pitts over Sewell just because I think in the AFC West with these dynamic offenses, I mean, Pitts to me is a future All-Pro, not Pro Bowl, future All-Pro player. So, again, what about Micah Parsons, though? Because I don't think Pitts will be available under any scenario, whether Atlanta takes him or the Cowboys move up and take him. Pitts, for me, is a no chance. Sewell could be there if the Bengals take Pitts or they take Ja'Marr Chase at 5. There's a very good chance Sewell's there at 9. So I wouldn't have an issue with that. The issue then would be, do you want Sewell or do you want the best defensive player on the board like Micah Parsons or Patrick Surtain? That would be the question then. And my guess is they'd probably lean toward tackle over linebacker, but, man, that would be a fascinating choice.
Troy, before we let you go, man, I got to talk to you about just a snapshot right now of Colorado sports. The Avs are 13-0-2 in their last 15 contests. They're currently favored to win the Stanley Cup. The Nuggets have gone 15-3 in their last 18 games. Jokic is the favorite to win the NBA MVP. The All-Star game is coming to Coors Field. The Broncos have a top 10 pick in the draft 3 weeks from now. Pretty nice time to be a Colorado sports fan, is it not?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It really is. I don't know about the Nuggets winning it. I would love to see them get to their first NBA Finals. As long as LeBron James is in the West, and once he gets healthy with Anthony Davis, you just it's impossible for me to sit here with a straight face and say, oh, yeah, they're going to the Finals. Because LeBron James, you got, at some point, you're probably going to have to go through him. And maybe this is the year you do it because of the injuries and whatever. But the Avs, to me, it would be a disappointment if they're not in it. And frankly, it's getting to the point it would be a disappointment if they don't win the Cup. They are so freakishly talented. Their best team since 2000 and 2001. I covered the teams before that with Watt and Sakic and Forsberg and Claude Lemieux, all those. I mean, that team was just Hall of Famers everywhere you look. This team is so ridiculously talented offensively, and now Grubauer is elite goalie, at least this year,
yeah,
in terms of goals against, in terms of wins. If he plays anything like that with that PK unit, they should win it. The Nuggets, it would just be great. Frankly, I know it's a consolation prize, but if they reach the NBA Finals for the first time, not unlike when the Rockies did it in 07 in the World Series, that would be really significant. For the Avs, I'm at this point with them. It's championship or bust. They're so damn good.
And last one, Troy, let me squeeze this in here. Do you believe that when the playoffs come around for both the Nuggets and the Avalanche, we will have Ball Arena at full capacity?
I don't know. Because it's indoors, I would say that's unlikely when it starts. I would hope by the end, because we think they're both going to make deep playoff runs, that that would be possible or something close. I mean, when Governor Polis said Coors Field would be full capacity for the All-Star game, that's July 13th, but that's outside. That
right,
has
right.
always been different in this conversation. And I just always temper my expectations given how the last 13 months have played out. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, for sure. I would love our state to trend in that direction, because if there's two teams that need and deserve fans at full throat screaming for them, it's the Avs and Nuggets.
No doubt about it. Troy, great talking to you. Have a great rest of your day and week.
You got it, guys. See you.
Thanks, right, Troy.
There he goes. Denver 7 Insider. Rocks Heating and Air. ROX. Rocks Heating and Air.
It could be a big difference, though. You know.